Ti si nambili nuk të tano në qimje fem kwejtu një kwako Zanzibar, Dar es Salaam na dunia zima tunasikiliza mjini FM radio pendwa asubuhi ni amshwe na Bisit breakfast mchana mambo atu sports knockout jioni nirudishwe na round ya bout bila kusahau the industry feed the street Monday mpaka Friday mjini FM.
Kwetu ni kwako. Ifanye siku yako iwe ya kipekee kwa kusikiliza habari, muziki na matukio kutoka kila kona. Mjini FM ni sehemu sahihi. Kwetu ni kwako.
Geo World Today. Good morning and welcome to Geo World Today. We have a special segment on current affairs. We're going to be delving into the possible negative impact of Russia's influence in Africa and what some say are the dangerous activities of the Wagner Group with a view from Tanzania. Joining us today is Bobby Monkey, host of Big City Breakfast and also presenter of Global Eye. We call it Nicho Lange. Thank you for being with us today, Bobby.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, let's start by exploring the various areas where Russia's influence in Africa has had possible negative effects, perhaps from destabilization to human rights violations. Now, what are the key issues at play here?
Some critics are of the opinion that Russia's involvement in Africa has been marked by destabilization and also a violation of sovereignty, human rights abuses, economic exploitation, and also proxy warfare. And some say that these activities have undermined democratic governance, and they've also impacted the environment, without forgetting fueled arms proliferation in the region, creating significant challenges for some developing countries in the same standing as Tanzania.
Now, the activities of the Wagner Group, a Russian private military company, have been particularly concerning. Can you shed some light on some of the alleged illegal activities in Africa and how they can possibly affect the political landscape?
The Wagner Group has been involved in gold mining operations in countries like the Central African Republic and Sudan, exploiting resources and some say contributing to corruption and conflict.
And what do you think of the consequences of their actions?
Well, their actions have led to revenue streams for the Russian government, while some critics would say this undermines governance structures and perpetuates authoritarianism in these African nations.
Okay, let's bring it back home and our neighboring countries. If, let's say, Tanzania and neighboring countries face potential security implications from Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the Wagner Group's activities in Africa, what steps do you believe should be taken to mitigate these risks?
I think it's crucial for Tanzania to work with regional partners and the international community to address these security threats effectively. And this may involve advocating for transparency, accountability, and adherence to international laws and norms, as well as promoting awareness among citizens and civil society about the risks posed by these geopolitical tensions.
Now, with the international community responding to Russia's actions in Ukraine and the Wagner Group's presence in Africa, let's bring it back home again and let me ask, what role do you believe Tanzania can play in addressing these challenges?
We are a peaceful country, and I think Tanzania can play a proactive role in advocating for peace, stability, and respect for sovereignty in the region by engaging with diplomatic channels, also supporting multilateral efforts, and strengthening its partnerships with like-minded countries. I believe Tanzania can contribute to resolving these global crises and safeguarding its interests at the same time.
Looking ahead, what do you foresee as the potential long-term impacts of Russia's invasion of Ukraine? and the Wagner's Group activities in Africa, on Tanzania, and in the region as a whole.
The long-term impacts of Russia's actions and the Wagner Group's activities in Africa are concerning, with repercussions for governance, security, and economic stability, I would say for the world, Tanzania, and of course neighboring countries. It is essential for policymakers, civil society, and citizens as a whole to remain vigilant and advocate for peaceful resolutions. These are quite complex challenges.
All right, thank you. Now let's dive into the grim reality of the Kremlin's revenue stream from Africa. Please talk us through the current findings regarding Russia's exploration, some say exploitation, of African resources, particularly gold, through the Wagner Group in some parts of Africa.
With regards to what the Russian government has benefited significantly from the African gold trade, with profits estimated in the billions of dollars.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yes, billions, billions of dollars. There are various reports for your perusal. With regards to the Kremlin's revenue stream from Africa, here are a few. The Russian government has brought in more than 2.5 billion US dollars from the African gold trade since Russia launched its invasion of Ukraine in February of 2022. Russia's profit, according to the Blood Gold report released this month, is driven by Wagner Group's influence in large parts of Africa. At present, Wagner's Ndassima operations are understood to be capable of producing as much as $290 million worth of gold annually. However, Wagner is continuing to expand its production capacity at Ndassima. According to the 2020 statement from the Central African Republic's Ministry of Mines, the estimated gross value for gold deposits at the site is 1.7 trillion Central African francs, which is equivalent to 2.8 billion US dollars.
Now, what type of profits are we talking about now?
The Wagner Group could see its profits soar to around $1 billion from its operations in the Central African Republic, one of the poorest countries in Africa, as of 2023, around half of the country's entire GDP.
That is in the Central African Republic, and there is news of some activity in Sudan as well, some Russian activity in Sudan as well.
Yes, yes, that is true. Wagner has established control of a major gold refinery in Sudan, which, according to the Blood Gold report, has allowed the PMC to become the dominant buyer of unprocessed Sudanese gold, with multiple accounts of Russian military transport planes shipping processed gold out of the country.
Okay, would you like to cite your sources for this information?
Definitely. According to the Telegraph, Russian agents have been smuggling Sudanese gold to Russia for years thanks to close personal relations with a Rapid Support Forces commander named Hemeti. Russia has exploited Sudan in order to circumvent Western sanctions and continue to fund its war machine, smuggling hundreds of tons of illicit gold from Sudan to its war chest.
Okay, please expound on some of this data, very scary data.
Data from the Sudanese Central Bank, leaked to CNN, suggests that as much as 32.7 tons of gold were unaccounted for in 2021, citing Wagner smuggling as the primary source of this deficit. At a market rate of about $60 million per ton of gold, Wagner could have earned as much as 1.9 billion US dollars if these numbers are correct. By contrast, official exports for the same year amounted to $62 billion, equivalent to 34.5 tons.
Please expound on perhaps further effects of Moscow's interest in Sudanese gold.
Moscow's interest in Sudanese gold has also led to further military cooperation between Russia and Sudan, with an agreement to build a Russian naval logistics hub near Port Sudan and laying the foundations for further Russian mineral extraction operations.
But some of these activities, we know that in the Central African Republic and Sudan, Wagner were actually subject to international sanctions. So how do they get some of these natural resources out, like this gold? How do they get it out?
In the Central African Republic and Sudan, where Wagner-linked entities are already subject to international sanctions, Kremlin actors rely on complex smuggling routes and corporate subterfuge tactics to extract large amounts of blood gold out of Africa to destinations such as Russia and the UAE, where it can be mixed with other legitimate sources of gold and converted to cash.
Okay, and apparently these activities are not only limited to the Central African Republic and Sudan, because there are also some reports of a presence of the Wagner Group in Mali.
Yes, that's true. In Mali, Wagner forces are being paid in cash by the military junta that took over the Western African country in 2021. The Blood Gold report said that members of the PMC are paid up to $10.8 million per month by the Malian government, which is funded largely by the tax revenues collected from a handful of Western-owned gold mining companies in the country.
There was also a Reuters report from Mali in November 2023.
Yes, Reuters reported in November of 2023 that Mali had signed an agreement with Russia to build a gold refinery in the capital, Bamako, one of a slew of deals between the two countries as Russia seeks to extend its regional influence. According to the Blood Gold report, the gold extracted from African countries is laundered into international markets that provides billions in revenue to the Russian state, thereby directly and indirectly financing Russia's war on Ukraine and the global hybrid warfare infrastructure.
I mean, with all of this, what is the objective and what looks like the end game here?
The ultimate objective of Wagner's playbook is to increase its clients' dependence on Wagner forces to stay in power, thereby securing a long-term revenue stream for the Kremlin and fostering authoritarianism and instability throughout the region as part of Russia's wider geopolitical strategy to sedate and bog down the democratic West.
The manipulation of gold resources in Sudan and the Central African Republic has raised international concerns about illicit activities and money laundering. How have these actions impacted the local populations and governance structures in these countries?
The Wagner Group's involvement in gold extraction has led to environmental degradation. They've also been accused of human rights abuses and economic exploitation in Sudan and the Central African Republic. Some say that these activities have undermined democratic governance and also have fueled conflict and perpetuated instability, posing long-term risks for the affected populations and their local economies.
A very grim picture. As we wrap up our segment, Bobby, what do you believe are the key takeaways for our listeners regarding Russia's influence in Africa and the activities of the Wagner Group?
I think it's imperative for individuals and communities to remain informed about the possible negative impact of Russia's influence in Africa and the Wagner Group's activities. Now, by advocating for transparency, accountability, and adherence to international norms, I believe we can collectively work towards a more peaceful and secure future for Tanzania, Africa, and the global community as a whole.
Thank you, Bobby, for your valuable insights and expertise on this complex issue. And thank you to you who is listening to us for joining us for this informative segment. Remember, knowledge is power. So stay informed and engaged. Until next time, stay safe and take care. See you on the flip.
Geo World Today. Tunakushukuru kwa kuendelea kutusikiliza. Lakini taarifa hii wafikishie na wengine. Waambie 92.5 Mjini FM ni nyumbani kwao. Kwetu ni kwako.